Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Pick and Roll Podcast. Today we have a good one for you guys. Basically, you know, last week was you know, scouting and breakdowns, weekly breakdowns. This is what we do here. This is what we're going to do again. I'll go ahead and give you guys an intro, let you know what games we're breaking down, what players we're breaking down, NBA draft content. All these guys are, you know, highly rated on these big boards and things of that nature. So, you know, I did intro last week and give you guys a taste of what games were going to be being played. Only one game needed to make an adjustment. I'll go over that game first. So it was supposed to be Colorado versus Miami, but Cody Williams did not play in the game, so I had to schedule another Colorado game because I really needed to see Cody Williams. So we have Colorado versus Florida State. If you guys know who plays at Florida State, Baba Miller, who's a big time, you know, 2 years ago, he was supposed to be a top 10 draft back coming out of France, going to play in Florida State, but he didn't really live up to that hype. So this is the first time we watched Baba Miller. And Colorado, we got Cody Williams, who's Jalen Williams' brother. He's a lot of drafts in the 14 to 20 range, depending on where you're looking. And sometimes he's in the lottery in the top 10. He's 6'8", and we got Tristan Da Silva, 6'9", who's a late first, early second for most people. And we have a guy who's a top ESPN top 100 guy, Hassan Diop, that we'll go over really quickly as well. And the next game up, we have Virginia versus Syracuse, which is a really good game. Ryan Dunn is a very, very hot topic for Virginia. A lot of people have him in the lottery, 6'8". And then they got a point guard there named Reese Beekman, who's 6'2", who's in the late first round for most people. And Syracuse has a guy named Judah Mintz, who's a 6'4", two guard, has really great stats. And he played in that game as well. Then the next game up, we have UConn versus UNC. Finally get to see break down and talk about Stephon Castle on this podcast. 6'6 guy. Most people have him like a top 5, top 10 pick, so it's intriguing. Donovan Klingon, who's been in the first round for a lot of mocks for a very long time, 7'2". Alex Carabon, who's in the talks for second round draft pick, 6'8". Solomon Ball, who's like in the talks for maybe like a summer league team type of guy, 6'2". And they do have two guys from the ESPN top 100, Jaden Ross and Jalen Stewart. UNC has Elliot Cadeau, who's a late first, early second for a lot of people, 6 foot. Harrison Ingram, who's 6'8", who a few years ago he played for Stanford and he was like a ball handling 6'8" wing, and he had some draft hype, but he reclassified and then he transferred to UNC. And Zayden Hyde's another ESPN top 100 guy. Next man up is Cloette, and we watched Tijuan Saloon, which we talked about a few guys on this times on this podcast. He plays in France. He's a 6'9", and he's late lottery or late first round is where he's staying at right now. And then we have Tennessee versus Purdue. Hey, man, you know, Tennessee has a few guys that were in ESPN top 100 and Freddie DeLone and Cameron Carr. JP Estrella's in some late second round talks, but the main guy of the show is Dalton Knecht. Dalton Knecht is flying up draft boards. I mean, flying up from not even talked about to first round, 6'6". And then we have Zach Edey, who player of the year, 7'4", you know, a very controversial topic when people talk about NBA draft. Most people have him in second round draft. Great. All right, so now that we've introed everybody, it is time to get moving on these breakdowns. The first people we're going to go ahead and break down is Colorado. So Colorado has some really good players on their team. And let's talk about the big guy, the main guy people want to talk about, and that's Cody Williams. So, you know, Cody Williams has one heck of a stat line so far. So let's go over this real quick. Through seven games, he's averaging 14 a game. giving you 2 assists, 3 rebounds, off of 62% field goal percentage, which was unreal. 66% from the free throw line, which is odd. And then 60% from the three-point line, which is absolutely mind-boggling number. I mean, that three-point percentage is insane. You know, he's 6'8". When you watch him play, the first thing that you notice is his ball handling is very... It's not flashy, but it's extremely functional. I mean, that guy can get anywhere he needs to get with his ball handling. There's no issue of, when people pressure him, he's going to have issues getting around defenders and things of that nature. No, his ball handling is there. He's a pretty good athlete. You know, he's got pretty good vertical gifts. He's got pretty good quickness and speed gifts. He's a smooth mover, which is kind of can distort how good of an athlete he is, but he's pretty solid, especially defensively. He moves really well defensively. That's one of his good things that he does. On ball defense, he's very good. He is very, very good. Year one in the NBA, because I'm expecting he'll come out year one. He'll be a one and done guy. Year one in the NBA, he might get pushed around a little bit because he does have a thinner frame. But I think as the year goes on, in the NBA, year two, year three, he'll put on enough muscle to defend as elite as his potential can be. So I think that he can be a better defender in the future than he is right now. But he already has good on-ball footwork and be able to move laterally and things of that nature is very good right now. Dude's an elite standstill three-point shooter. I mean, the 60% three-point percentage is insane. This guy is not a guy that takes a ton of three-point shots. He has very good shot selection in the sense that he's only going to take good shots. He's only going to take them when he's wide open. He's only going to take them when it's a good look, right? But, man, does he have a good three-point shot. One time in this game, he showed a flash of a floater driving to the rim. Other than that, there's just not much shot creation here. It's like no shot. Other than his ability to get to the rim and being a standstill three-point shooter, there's zero shot creation other than the one play where he did have a floater at the rim. That's it. I mean, this guy is a very non-scoring based guy. And this is a guy that doesn't have a super high upside because there's just no skill to work with. There's no mid-range shot creation. There's no three-point shot creation. There's no, you know, anything that's going to lead to a high level score at the next level. He definitely can get to the rim though. 6 foot with his nice athletic gifts, being 6'8" and having a good handle, he can get to the rim. He's a very good layup package, and he has a very, very good feel for drawing fouls at the rim. It's very impressive. He's an above average passer for the position. But I do think the point forward take that people have on him, I don't see that at all. I don't see point forward level passer, but I think above average guy, small forward position, very accurate. Me personally, I view him as a slightly better passing and slightly better ball handling Trey Murphy III. Trey Murphy III was out of Virginia a few years ago, and he was drafted, you know, in just past the lottery. I think he was a 17th or 16th pick, but he was a 6'8 3-and-D guy to shoot the poo out of the three ball, right? And he's had a good career so far for the Pelicans. And I view Cody Williams in the same range, 14th through 18th pick. Definitely has an extremely high floor as a guy that can be an elite 3-and-D guy that's so elite at the three-point shooting and the defense and the length that he can start. He can start on teams as a 3-and-D guy. Right, because he's just so elite at all those things. But the ceiling is not high for him at all. You know what I mean? So he's a high floor guy, but, you know, shoots the cover off the ball so far. So you shoot the three like the way he's shooting, then, you know, he's going to be consistently in the good draft pick talk. So that's my take on Cody Williams so far. He's definitely a very intriguing prospect. So we're going to go ahead and kick it to the next guy on this Colorado team, which is Tristan Da Silva. Now he's averaging 15.8 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 54% field goal percentage, 86% free throw percentage, and 40% 3-point percentage. So those are really great shooting splits. He's 6'9", and, you know, he's a very good 3-point shooter. He's a pretty decent rim attacker. Nothing overly amazing, but nothing like too poor. I'd say the above average on-ball defender. I don't really see anything greater than that. And just like Cody Williams, he has no shot creation other than being a 3-and-D guy that shoots a 3 and gets to the rim. Me personally, he reminds me a lot of Keegan Murray's brother who got drafted last year by the Portland Trail Blazers in the late first round as a 6'9", 3-and-D guy that's not so overwhelming as a 3-and-D prospect where you think it can start one day, but the idea a few years down the line of him being a valuable bench player, 7th, 6th, 8th guy off the bench that can guard the power forward position and the small forward position, be switchable and give you length off the bench. Yes, Tristan Da Silva can definitely be that guy. And just like Kenneth Murray was, I have him graded as a 26-30 draft pick. I definitely feel like he's a solid role player. Nothing else extra other than that at this moment in time. Alrighty, next man up from the Colorado game is Hassan Diop. He's a 6'8 forward. He really didn't show anything, you know, anything that looked like an NBA level prospect. So I really don't think that we need to spend much time on him. I wouldn't even say a summer league guy. There's just not much there right now. He needs more time. Alrighty, so we're going to go ahead and go to the next man up in this game for Florida State, Ba Miller. A really hot topic. You know, shooting splits are very interesting. So basically, he averages 7.8 points per game, 48% field goal percentage, 37% three-point percentage, 33% from the free throw line. That's just insane. 5 rebounds. He's 6'11". Some flashes and some pull-up mid-range shots, which is very odd. You know what I mean? He's 6'11". He moves extremely well. He has good athletic gifts. The handle plus the athletic gifts leads to some intrigue. Me personally, I'd have him 56th or 60 grade on the NBA draft. I think he's a sophomore. Man, just stay until you're a senior. Develop as much as you can because he's 6'11", has a good handle, has some pull-up mid-range shots, right? Like, he has the skill set and the athletic gifts of a top 3 pick in the NBA draft. So if I'm, you know, giving advice to him, stay in college. Stay until you're a senior. Get these shooting splits up. Put on some muscle. Get more confidence in your game and develop your skill set a little more because he's just raw. And senior year, let's see what we got, right? Because he could be a guy that, whenever he puts it together, he can be a top 3 pick in the draft. Because 6'11", ball handling, strong, shooting skill sets just don't come around every day. The upside is so visibly there. But again, it's just so raw right now that I would just say, stay until you're a senior, you're a sophomore right now, and just develop your skill set as much as possible. That's what I would say. And even though I have him grade as 56 or 60, I personally don't think he should go. Because he is just such a high upside guy. And he just needs to give it time. You know what I mean? Okay. We are going to go ahead and move it to the next game up. The next game up is basically Virginia versus Syracuse. This is a big time game. Virginia has Ryan Dunn, who is a 6'8 wing, small forward. And people are just having him fly up draft boards. And when you watch him play, it's very obvious why. The dude is an amazing defender. I mean, just absolutely amazing. On ball, special. The way he moves, special. The strength that he has to his body really allows him to, you know, play through contact and be a physical defender as well. I mean, if I had to comp him to somebody, it's like Kawhi Leonard-ish defensively. Like, he is just that special. I mean, just being honest here, he is just that special. But last year, he shot like 23% from the three-point line. Right now, he's shooting 20% from the three-point line. He has like a 54% field goal percentage, and he's averaging 8 points a game. And he shoots 70% from the free-throw line. But, you know, offensively, can he get to the rim and finish? Sure. But the three-point shot is just so far and beyond and behind what it would need to be a draftable skill set. You know, last year, there was a guy that I was pretty high on, Ryan Rupert, who had a really poor three-point shot, but I comped him to Sean Marion defensively. Like, he was 6'7", so fluid, so athletic, on ball, unreal, okay? And I had him, like, in the 20s. Because I was like, okay, well, the three-point shot isn't there yet, but defensively, wow, right? Well, he got drafted in, like, the 47th pick, and I'm thinking to myself, why? And you think to yourself again, like, okay, yeah, the guy, there's no guy that's an off-ball player that exists in the NBA, no matter how great you are defensively, that can't shoot threes. It just doesn't exist. The only exception is Draymond Green, but he's a playmaking forward. He's a different guy, right? Off-ball, three-point shooting guys, where all their role is shooting threes, doesn't matter how good you are in defense. And Ryan Dunn is phenomenal defensively. He's an all-NBA defensive talent. Oh, yes, right? But that three-point shot is not good enough to get him in the NBA, and it's so poor that NBA GMs might just say he may never be able to develop a three-point shot enough to get him on the floor. So why would I waste a draft pick on him, right? So right now I have him graded 56 through 60, and kind of similar to Bob Miller, whenever this guy figures out that three-point shot, he'll be a lottery pick. It is so phenomenal defensively. Whenever it happens, you will be a lottery pick, right? It is so obvious. But right now, no. Because of the three-point shot, it's just so far away. So, you know, that's my take on Ryan Dunn. I understand why people are having him so high, because trust me, the eye test is amazing defensively. It's just unreal. But everything's just so far behind, and the NBA game is so much about three-point shooting. If you just can't shoot threes, you're not on the floor. You don't assist, even if you're Ryan Dunn level defender, who's just so special. So, yeah, that's my take on Ryan Dunn. Interesting prospect, interesting topic. I understand why everybody's so high, but you know that 3-point percentage is just so beyond. It's bad right now, really really bad. Alrighty, so next man up is Rhys Beekman, who plays for Virginia. You know, he is definitely somebody that is, he's supposed to be a late second round draft pick. I'll give you a shooting splits. So far, he's averaging 12.5 points per game, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 2.7 steals, 45% field goal percentage, 78% three throw percentage, 25% 3-point percentage. Now, he's so quick. His quickness really allows him to get to the rim whenever he wants. He's 6'2". He can really finish at the rim. He's a good passer. He's a non-turnover passer. Like, he doesn't make mistakes. Now, is he like a world-class passer and world-class basketball IQ guy? No, but he definitely, you know, is a really, really highly efficient guy with the turnovers. His 3-point shot is really the question mark, because last year he thought 35% from the 3-point line. And so that leads to thinking that 25% is going to come around. And if it does come around, I'm going to be very high on him, because he's also a very good on-ball defender. He's a very ideal backup point guard in the NBA, because most backup point guards in the NBA are guys like, you know, Cameron Artis Payne, Dennis Schroeder of the world. Those guys that can get to the rim, that are quick, have roles. And then there's guys like Gary Payton III, Javon Carter, Alex Caruso, Patrick Beverley, where they're 3-and-D guys, where they're really great on-ball defenders, and they really understand those type of things. He can kind of blend everything, right? You know, if that 3-point shot sticks, he reminds me a lot of Gabe Vincent, where he can be such a high-tier backup point guard in the NBA. And I really like him. I just hope this 25%, 3% point percentage can come around to where it was last year, which was 35%. Because if he's 25%, I wouldn't even have him draft as a draftable prospect. Right now I have him 26 through 30, but that's a grade based on last year's 3-point shooting percentage. Hopefully it comes around, but you know, this guy's got a lot of things that make backup point guards elite, and he can do multiple things that you know, just his ability to get to the rim would get most people drafted. Just his ability to defend on ball if he could shoot threes could get him drafted. So he kind of has a blend of a few things. Okay. We're going to go ahead and kick it to the next guy on this list. All right, so next man up for this Virginia-Syracuse game is Judah Mintz. He's a 6'4 two guard from Syracuse. Through this year, statistically speaking, he is a sophomore. He's shooting 45% field goal percentage, 43% three-point line, 78% free throw percentage, averaging 20 a game off of 3.5 assists. He definitely must be the best, most explosive guy that they have with the ball, because they have him basically be point guard, even though he doesn't have point guard passing skill. I mean, he's honestly an average two guard passer. So that 3.5 assists a game that he has is inflated by the situation and the way that they need him to play. You know, he's 6'4 and he's decently well built. And the best thing about him, he can get to the rim and finish. In this game, he showed nothing else. It was a really poor game, though. He had like 5 points. He obviously averages 20, so it was either when the shots are not falling, he's not as aggressive, other than driving to the rim, or, you know, his skill set is just driving to the rim. You know, right now, that's all I can see from my eye test is 6'4", two guard that only drives to the rim, that doesn't really do anything else. And he's always going to be a little bit of a poor defender. He doesn't really look that good defensively. Athletically, he's maybe above average, average-ish. So, you know, 6'4", you got to overcome a lot of things skill-wise, and the skill just doesn't look there right now. Look like it's there right now. So right now I have him graded as an undrafted, but we will watch him again. You know, he plays in the ACC. He's had such a great stat line. This could have just been one poor game. So, you know, we will watch him again, but right now I have him as an undrafted grade. But I think it's very fair for the game that he played. You know what I mean? He had a poor game and he just didn't really show anything other than getting to that rim. All right, so next game up is UConn versus UNC. So we got, the man, 6'6". I mean, when you talk about Stephon Castle, let's just put his stats in perspective so far. He's only played 5 games, and he's had an ankle injury, so take these stats with a grain of salt. But he's averaging 9 a game, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 48% field goal percentage, 77% free throw percentage, 40% from the three-point line. You know what I mean? So he looks like such a smooth athlete. That guy just has, he's so smooth and, you know, above average to good athlete. He's a very good defender, and he's extremely smart on help defense and getting the passing lanes and using his point guard intelligence on the defensive end. He definitely makes an impact defensively that goes unnoticed for sure. He's a very good passer. I mean, the dude showed a lot of flashes and some really good passing. You know, he didn't get a ton of opportunities with the ball in his hand, so there's not a ton of tape yet and more tape will be needed to build. But one time he did have the pick and roll, he definitely showed his ability to get to the rim, and it looks so smooth, and he looks so smooth in that pick and roll and extremely patient. You know what I mean? So again, I'm taking everything with a grain of salt right now and kind of trying to imagine what he could be in the future. There wasn't much shot creation there, but again, it was his first game back from a knee injury that was supposed to hold him out for like 2 to 4 weeks. So, you know what I mean? So right now I have him graded through 8 through 10. That's assuming that I'm going to see more shot creation and the shooting splits, especially the 3-point percentage. I mean, we can't talk about him in the draft if he's 14% 3-point line. So, all those things I'm guessing will improve in time as he gets back to 100%. So right now I have him graded 8 through 10. You could definitely see a lot of the things that people rave about him. 6'6", point guard, passing, intelligence, defense, the way he moves smoothly, so patient, the pick and roll.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's a lot of really good things to like about him, so I'm really going to have a lot of fun watching him play in the future. Alrighty, the next big name on this list is their center, Donovan Klingon, who is 7'2", you know what I mean? And when I think about Klingon is, let me give you guys his stat line real quick. So basically his stat line is 13.9 points per game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Nope, 1.2 assists, my bad. Shoots 63% field goal percentage, a 53% from the three-point free throw percentage, and 0% from the three-point line. Yeah, he's not a three-point shooter. It's okay. So 7'2", first thing you notice about him is 7'2" guys are usually thinner. Right? They're usually not as big as this guy. This guy's a big human being. He's really strong. He has really big legs. He's got a really big core. Like, he has a big body. And that big body is going to allow him to put on all muscle to be really elite strength-wise at the next level at the 7'2 position. He is an extremely elite rim defender. He does it in a unique way. He doesn't chase blocks, but he does a really great job of contesting at an extremely elite rate without fouling. You're not gonna just go up to him, try to finish at the rim, and just expect 2 free throws. He is gonna really put you in a tough position to try to draw fouls. He is extremely elite at contesting at an extremely tough ways without fouling. It's impressive. It really is. You know what I mean? And he also, even though he's a drop cover center, he plays the ball handler in the pick and roll situations very well. He still contests those shots very well. It was impressive to see how much ground he can cover and how good of a natural feel he just has for, okay, I have a feeling this guy's going to pull from this mid-range shot now. Right, or this guy's going to try to do something like a floater now. He has a good feel for it. He has a good feel for reading what the offensive player wants to do. And it's unique. He definitely, intelligence-wise, he's there. He's a pretty decent passer, nothing overly special. In the post, again, nothing overly special, nothing that he's going to do in the NBA. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a screener and a screen and roll guy to the rim and finish at the rim. 7'2 length, you can't teach. He's a very good screen setter. I mean, this guy really does a really great job setting screens. And, you know what I mean? He's just such an elite rim defender, and since it's really impressive. And nothing overly special athletically, but you know, somebody that he reminds me so much of, and so much to such an extreme point that makes me very confident on the comp, is Roy Hibbert. If you watch Roy Hibbert play at Georgetown and, you know, Roy Hibbert play for Indiana. Roy Hibbert, if you guys don't know, he played in the 2010s on the Paul George Indiana Pacers teams. He was an all NBA level defender, 7'2", really strong. And as a LeBron James fan, he gave LeBron James issues. I think, honestly, out of all the centers in the NBA that gave LeBron issues, it was probably Roy Hibbert because he was so tall and so strong. And 7'2", just like Donovan Klingon is, they gave him issues because he was a power center, right? Like, LeBron James is a power player, and there's a lot of freak athletes in the NBA, and having a powerful center that can defend at the rim against these elite guys is extremely rare, right? And, you know, Roy Hibbert, if you watch him play at Georgetown, he's slow. Like, he is not athletic at all. He's like an average, below average athlete, but he makes up for it in defensive ways and defending the rim, being good in the pick and roll, right? And he's a drop coverage center. And that's why I feel like Klingon reminds me so much of him. He's the exact same height. He's a big man, big human being. He's got good size. He has just a really great feel for defending the rim without giving you easy free throws, right? But he's not. Roy Hibbert wasn't chasing the blocks. He was more interested on defending the rim extremely well than chasing the blocks leader for that season, right? Like, Roy Hibbert was a legitimately good defender, legitimately better than probably the blocks leaders were, because they were chasing blocks. When people are chasing blocks, they're easy to get up in the air and then get to the free throw line, because you know that they'll bite on those pump fakes because they want block stats. Klingon and Roy Hibbert are not those kind of guys. They're purists when it comes down to defending the rim. And I'm really impressed. This is... Walker Kessler is somebody that's very similar, and Walker Kessler just had a great season for Utah. You know what I mean? And I definitely feel like, though, because he's a little taller and a little stronger than Kessler is, so I definitely feel like Roy Hibbert, I feel like 12th or 14th draft pick, he's obviously not going to be anything more than that kind of guy, a defensive specialist that can, you know, set screens at extremely elite rate and, you know, be a guy that can be a role man. But his defense is just so elite, and, you know, no place offensively is more needed for you to score than at the rim, you know what I mean? So his ability to defend the rim will always be valuable, you know what I mean? Like, I love switchability as much as the next guy, but this guy is a specialist at an elite rate. I have him graded 12 through 14, and I really feel confident about the Roy Hibbert comp. It is. I feel so confident about it because, man, Donovan Kling was special, and his understanding of how to defend that rim is really advanced stuff. So, yeah, I'm really excited to talk about him. So there's a few other guys on UConn. Alex Cardaban, 6'8", three-point shooting guy. He is averaging 15 points per game off of... 6 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 54% field goal percentage, 82% free throw percentage, 35% three-point line. And that's what it is. He's a three-point shooting 6'8" guy. He doesn't really show much flashes of ability to get to the rim. Handle looks very below average at best. Below average on-ball defender. Me personally, I have him as a borderline NBA talent. I have him undrafted at this moment in time. I definitely could see him making a summer league team, but and maybe having a good career overseas. But I don't see him as an NBA talent, because I just, you can't defend the wing in what we're talking about, because he's not. He's so poor. Okay. All right. So the next few guys to talk about is Solomon Ball. You know, Solomon Ball is billed as a guy to shoot the three, even though he's a poor 3-point percentage so far this year, which was 27%, 72% free throw percentage, 36% from the field goal percentage, averages 6 points per game, 6'2". You know, I definitely don't have him as a draftable prospect. I don't really feel like he has anything other. He's like just a standstill 3-point shooter, and that's it. But his 3-point percentage sucks right now, so he's not a draftable prospect. And the other guys from that team are Jalen Ross and Jalen Stewart, ESPN top 100 guys, didn't play, so not really needed to be talked about. All right, next man up, next team up is the UNC side of that game, since they play against UConn. And the first guy up in that big board for that team is Elie Cadeau, who's an extremely highly rated guy coming out of the ESPN top 100 list. 6 foot. He's averaging 6.7 points per game, 4 assists, 45% field goal percentage, 68% free throw percentage, and 27% from the three-point line. You know, he's such an elite passer. The dude makes really good passes in the pick and roll in normal situations offensively. Dude's very elite at that way. Average NBA athlete. Finishing at the rim's an issue, honestly, for him. 6 foot, he's not a great athlete. He doesn't really look like he has the skill to overcome those weaknesses at the rim right now. Not much of a shot creator at all. I mean, between the weak three-point shooting, not much of a shot creator, not being able to get to the rim, can't really do anything offensively other than pass, and that's not an NBA talent. So right now, I have him graded as an undrafted guy. I don't really think that we're going to need to watch a lot more of him. He does play in the ACC, so we might have to, but you know what I mean? It's not going to be anything great breakdown-wise, and I definitely disagree with the whole him being a draftable prospect thing. Definitely. Alrighty. Ready to move to the next guy in that game for them. Harrison Ingram, 6'8". Really good frame. Really strong. He's averaging 14.6 points per game, 6 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 47% field goal percentage, 61% free throw percentage. Wow. 43% three-point percentage. He's a pretty okay athlete. He's a decent passer. I wish, since, again, like we talked about Stanford, he was like a pick-and-roll guy where he'd be the ball handler making all these passes. You don't really see him at UNC making passes at the same level they did at Stanford. Hopefully we'll get to see more with him, the ball in his hands, to see more flashes of those things. He looks like a pretty okay standstill three-point shooter. You know what I mean? And he does, you know, shot create in the post. You know, 6'8", really strong, but has issues, maybe not on ball defense, not overly great there. The idea of him being a 3-and-D guy, it's going to take that 46% 3-point percentage to really stick. You know what I mean? I don't think it will throughout the season. So right now I have him great as an undrafted guy. But definitely it could be intriguing. He could put things together here, but with the passing wise, can make things more interesting. But right now he's undrafted. And the next guy from the North Carolina team is going to be Zaden High. He didn't play in the game, so DNP, he's not a draftable prospect. And then we're going to go ahead and kick it to Tijuan Saloon. And all right, so when we're talking about Tijuan Saloon, he's definitely somebody 6'9". This is the third time we've talked about him. His shooting splits so far are interesting because he's played 8 games in the Championships League and the French, 16 in the French League. So there's 2 different stat lines, but, you know, through 16 games of one league in the French A, he's shooting 26% from the 3-point line. Through 8 games, he's shooting 46, which he's going to bounce him out somewhere in the 30s. His 2-point percentage from 16 games in the French League is 38. His 2-point percentage through 8 games in the Champions League is 58. Again, it's going to bounce it out in like the high to mid-40s. Free throw percentage, 68% from the 16 games in the French League, and the Champions League, he's shooting 76% from the free throw line, so that's going to bounce out low 70s from the free throw percentage. You know, 6'9", he had one heck of a game in this game. He was shooting the poo out of the three ball. He had like 24 points, and, you know, this guy's, just to reiterate some of the things we've talked about before, he's one heck of a defender. He's very good on ball. He's very good in space. He's very good at his ability to attack the rim and put pressure at the rim off ball as like a team defender. He covers so much ground because of his length and his size and him being a good athlete. He's just unreal in those ways. He shows some flashes of shot creation. It's pretty rare, though. We haven't seen much shot creation since the French U18 game, where he shows like step back threes and some mid-range shot creation, some floaters. But, you know, team defending, being a good three-point shooting guy that can get to the rim and, you know, has some shot creation that you can buy into long-term. He's definitely somebody that is so elite defensively, so elite 6'9"-wise, so elite shooting. He looks really good shooting a three ball right now. And his ability to get to the rim is just so freaking elite. I mean, man, Saloon can get to the rim in very elite ways. And those flashes of shot creation that you did see at the France U18 games shows some potential what he could be in the future. So I still have him grading through a 12th or 14th pick. I feel like he has a high floor with a unique ceiling, because the high floor is a really extremely high level 3-and-D guy that can get to that rim in the elite way. You know what I mean? And so elite that he can start even without that shot creation ever really comes along. But that shot creation 3 to 4 years from now could lead to some improvements. You know what I mean? It's kind of similar to what Osman Dang was last year in the sense of the upside. But, you know, right now I have him grade 12th or 14th pick. He's a really interesting guy. Unique. And the last game is Tennessee versus Purdue. So yeah, Tennessee has Freddie DeLone, JB Estrella, Cameron Carr, Dalton Hecht. Freddie DeLone and Cameron Carr were top ESPN top 100 guys that really are panning out right now. They're not really doing anything super special. So they're not going to be really talked about. They're basically DNPs. JP Australia, I get it. He's 6'11" and he shoots the three ball. It shows some flashes of being able to like be pretty smooth for the height, but I just don't think he's an NBA talent right now. I don't feel like he's a good rim defender. I don't really see NBA talent from JP Australia, and there's nothing really unique that he has in his game at this moment in time. So I just make that really brief. I have an undrafted grade really low on my draft board. And then the main guy people want to talk about, Dalton Knecht. So, you know, I think he's a junior, 6'6", averaging 16.5 points per game, 1.66 assists, 46% field goal percentage, 80% free throw percentage, and 38% from the three-point line. When we're talking about Dalton Knecht, he's definitely somebody that can do all the off-ball stuff as a two-guard. I mean, coming off off-ball screens, being a mover, being in shooting, he uses that three-point shot extremely well as an off-ball mover. Kind of similar to the Duncan Robinsons of the world, the Max Strus's of the world, those kind of guys. He could do those things. You know, he's an above-average defender. You know, the unique thing about him is he shows flashes of being able to get to the rim. Now, getting to the rim is interesting in the thought process of these kind of guys. So, you know, I've been scouting for, this is going to be my fourth draft, and I've seen a lot of guys like this. I can't think of his name at the top of my head, but there's a kid from Kansas that was National Player of the Year that got drafted to the Cavs and they got traded to the Utah Jazz. That was 6'6". And these guys coming out of college are, you know, good enough to do all the off-ball stuff, which is really important in college. It really is useful. And then when somebody tries to close out on a Duncan Robinson, on a Max Strus, on those guys, they need to have a good enough handle to get to the rim if people close out too hard to them, right? And it's extremely important for them to have that ability. And Dalton Knecht does have that ability. But something that he does that nobody else can do, Grady Dick couldn't do it coming out of college. The kid from Michigan last year, Juwan Howard's son, I can't think of his name either, got drafted by Orlando Magic, couldn't do this. You know, I'm trying to think of names. And the kid from Kansas that came out a few years ago. Again, I can't think of their names at this moment in time. But those kind of guys cannot get to the rim when it's just a normal defense, where there's the defense is set, they don't have the ball in their hands and a three-point shot, where the threat of a three-point shot is there, where it's a set defense and they can just get to the rim against a set defense. Grady Dick couldn't do it. The kid from Michigan, the last year that got drafted by Orlando Magic in the top 10, couldn't do it. The kid from Kansas that got drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers in like the lottery, like I think the 14th pick and got traded to the Utah Jazz, couldn't do it. This guy can. It's really interesting. He has a good feel for finishing at the rim, and it was really interesting seeing him doing that. He seems like an above-average passer from the two-guard position as well. So, you know, he has all of those things, and it's really interesting. Me personally, I feel like he reminds me so much of Max Strus right now. I have him graded 14th through 18th draft pick, but I could definitely see him moving up the board. He's just a different guy than what the normal off-ball three-point shooter is. And, you know, there's a really big game between him and Illinois that we'll break down in a few upcoming podcast, because this guy is definitely worth breaking down more. 14 through 18 draft grade is what I have for him right now, but I'm really intrigued. So yeah. All right, so the main guy that to break down from the other side of that team, and the last player to break down is Zach Edey's like the National Player of the Year. He has an insane stat line. People who love college will definitely know who this guy is. 24.5 points per game, 10 rebounds, 62% field goal percentage, 7'4". This guy is a posting 7'4" player. His footwork is okay, not overwhelmingly good. Nothing too crazy amazing post footwork wise there, but he just kind of plays to this height. It's 7'4", you just can't teach it. He's a pretty good size for his abilities. Defensively is where he is weak. You know, he's a pretty decent shot blocker at the rim, but he is just so terrible guarding the ball handler and the pick and roll that the idea of him ever being an NBA center is tough. Like, he obviously can't switch. He's just so slow. He can't switch and be that kind of mobile guy. But even the pick and roll, when the ball handler is there and he's at drop coverage, he does a terrible job of contesting shots. He doesn't do it very well. He does a really, really bad job. So defensively, he has so much work to overcome. It's going to be hard to imagine him ever being able to defend like that because of lack of athleticism. So right now, I have him graded 50 through 55 in the draft. If this was the 1980s, this guy would be a top three pick. But, you know, we live in a different era right now where the post play is just not as big. So Zach Edey, that's my grade right now. And that's the end of, you know, the breakdowns. So I'll go ahead and give you guys an intro into next week. Let's see what we got here. All right. Yep. Okay, so tonight, Auburn is playing USC. So hopefully Isaiah Collier, Bronny James, who just come back recently, will play in this game. If Isaiah Collier and Bronny James play and Aiden Holloway play, we will scout USC versus Auburn. And another game that's going to be played on December 20th is Baylor versus Duke. If Jacoby Walter shows up, then we'll watch the game. That's the only thing, because there's so many guys to watch. The Duke team, Jacoby Walter, Jalen Bridges, Giovanni Messi, Tyrese Proctor. It's a really deep group there. And then the next game up is Miami versus Kentucky. We got Justin Edwards, DeJuan Wagner, Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, Aaron Bradshaw did not play. You know, Justin Edwards. And then we got Wuga Popular, who's really big on this NBA draft. A lot of people have him early second round. Norchad Ormeer, which is... Some people have him late second right now. Matthew Cleveland, who people have sometimes in the second round. And then again, I did tell you guys that Tennessee versus Illinois, Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins, Dalton Knecht, that game already did get played. So I'm 100% certain that everybody played in that game. We will be breaking that game down. And so, yes, we will be breaking down Dalton Knecht next week. I'm really excited. They had a really good game. I already watched them play, and I'm telling you this right now. You definitely want to tune in to my Terrence Shannon breakdown, because I'm going to blow your minds on the way that I am just wowed by him. So I'm just going to give you a little intro there. I've already watched this game, but I cannot wait to break this down for you. So yeah, that's all I have. Hopefully you guys are having a good day. I really appreciate all the listening, all the reviews, everything like that. I definitely appreciate anybody that's listening to this podcast. Hopefully you guys have a great day. Then we'll keep on giving those consistent podcasts getting dropped on Thursday. I guarantee you it always will be on Thursday. So yeah, I'm really excited and to continue doing this podcast, even though Chris is gone now. So thank you guys for listening. Have a great rest of your week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.